And welcome back to Coaching with the Bible. This week, a double portion, Tazria and Mitzorah. Our topic this week, the office gossip. The most famous conversation that comes out of this week's reading, the double portion, is the really extensive conversation about the leper, person who contracts leprosy, or the clothing that contracts leprosy, or the home that contracts some form of leprosy, the process of becoming viewed as impure or tabbed as impure, and then the full-on conversation about the purification process of the person who becomes a leper. We're not speaking here, of course, about leprosy in the medical sense that we know of over the course of history, leper camps and things of that nature, but more of the spiritual variety with which the Bible is discussing here. So it's not contagious in that way that someone can pass leprosy from one to the next, although the impurity, a different story. But the Bible goes to great lengths to talk about the leper and the process by which the priest determines whether or not a person is in fact a leper and has leprosy, is therefore impure. And on the other side of that, the entirety of the purification process, which again is a rather extensive purification process. But to appreciate first the notion that when the Bible describes this person becoming impure, and then the sages go deep on why it is that a person contracts this leprosy, most famously we know the reason behind it is negative speech about other people, gossiping, spreading lies about other people, what's called colloquially in the Hebrew as Lashon Hara, speaking badly. And the punishment for that act is this form of leprosy. The sages go deeper, actually, and in the Zohar, mystical work known as the Zohar, it says that basically the idea here is that it is a machalah shel sgirut. It is an illness of being closed up. That's the language in the Hebrew, the translation into the English. And what happens essentially is, and it's understanding as to why that is, because ultimately what happens to a person who contracts this form of leprosy is that they are required to spend an extended period of time alone. Sagur, closed up, is the idea of being separated from the pack, requiring an exile of sorts for a period of time. And the worst thing that a person perhaps can consider, and on some level many of us have seen it and experienced it over the last year plus, although obviously not to the same degree, is the idea of living alone or being exiled or being segregated out, quarantined, maybe the right term. This person who contracts this form of leprosy, spiritual affliction on the body, is then ultimately required to go into some form of a quarantine, an extended period of aloneness, being by themselves. We can understand why. If in fact what they did was speaking negatively about other people, and that caused harm or caused impact or affected or impacted or tensed or stretched relationships, then the appropriate punishment for such a person is to be removed from society and to have no relationships and to have no interaction and no connection and no relationship with anyone else. It's not that all lepers in this sense would then be quarantined together. No, it's in fact the case that each person who, God forbid, contracts this form of illness is in fact separated and is in isolation, quarantined from everyone else. So it's not like they go into a camp together. No, they go separately into separate spaces and must persist and exist and survive on their own. Nothing could be greater in terms of feeling a sense of diminishment as a human than separation completely and isolation completely from the entirety of the tribe, the community, the family, the home. So it's an understanding as to where this comes from. And it's a horrible thing to be the person known as a gossip, the one who speaks about other people, the yenta, for lack of a better term, but that's probably the right term. It's probably not the thing that we want to be most known for. In fact, there's a great quote from Eleanor Roosevelt. Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people. So the idea that someone who is always talking about other people, for lack of a better other term, the person who writes for page 6 in the New York Post, right, which is basically a gossip column, an entire page in a newspaper, who parenthetically one most recent former president was well known for sharing details about himself or others for that page and to those reporters. Just a comment, but take it as you want. But being known as the gossip columnist or the person who's always speaking or writing about other people and their lives and the details of their lives may not be where a person wants to be. Perhaps they'd rather be known for, you know, Pulitzer Prize-winning materials and literature, classics, and not being the gossip columnist. I mean, the gossip person, the gossiper in a community or in an office is, again, not what a person should want to be known for. But we all know that besides what's described in the Bible with respect to the person who contracts leprosy, the spiritual form of leprosy, or their clothing or their home, which is also worthy of discussion as to how that happens or why that happens to a home or to clothing rather than simply the person, and really worth also going into the details of the purification process, because obviously every detail in that purification process, from the going to the priest to the bringing of different offerings and sacrifices the shaving of the body's hair, to all kinds of things. Every piece of that is part of bringing the person back to society, but also having the person appreciate coming back to being part of the community, learning the lessons of their transgression of being that person. Really interesting conversation and discussion there. But beyond that, from the context of our own lives, the water cooler conversation, or what used to be known as water cooler conversation, has sort of shifted altogether into other environments and other degrees. And we see the impact that false stories and gossip have on people's lives. The massive effect it can have on someone, God forbid, to the point of a person taking their own lives, which there are stories like that. False rumors and gossip and fake stories and fake news and all these things about people that have led to really detrimental and catastrophic impacts on who they are as beings. And so having an office culture that is a gossip culture is a disaster. We know the famous quote, or attributed at least to Peter Drucker, is that culture eats strategy for breakfast. That creating the proper culture, office culture, that obviously, you know, focuses on productivity and success and shies away and stays away and frowns upon negative activities and negative vibes and negative words in the office environment is certainly what we want. And so a culture that is a gossiping office culture, it is a disaster. And it can be a tragedy and can have catastrophic results for the employees, for the managers, for the founders and the owners, for the leaders, and obviously on all productivity and success. So it's not something that we want to encourage in our office. We want to create and encourage a positive work culture and work environment, and a positive office environment, even in a virtual situation or in non-physical spaces, as many cases still exist today. So it's important for us as managers, as team members, employees, to really foster and desire to create that kind of a space. And so there are a little different levels. It's really where we can talk about the office gossip, and obviously frowning upon the office gossip and perhaps removing an office gossip from the team to the betterment of the entirety of the team. So let's focus today really on the obvious harms of having a culture of office gossip. Those are pretty clear and obvious, but important nonetheless to mention here. Obviously, having that kind of an environment in your workspace, it destroys all kinds of trust. It obviously hurts, because if you're on the lips of other people and they're talking about you negatively, obviously, it hurts. We should also be aware It wouldn't be the first time that this happened in an office, and it probably won't be the last time. And I was sort of doing a little bit of research, sort of thinking about, like, where's the first time we sort of hear, you know, the gossip coming up in the Bible? So the first one that's most famous is with Joseph. Joseph speaking negatively about his brothers. But actually before that, there's a moment where Jacob is aware that the sons of Laban are speaking about him. I mean, the commentaries mention the idea that they're speaking what's called Lashon Hara, negative speech about him, falsehoods about him, to Laban and to the entirety of the community, and that's when he decides to leave. But most famously and more famously is with Joseph and his brothers, and leads to what we know, with Joseph ending up in a pit, being sold down to Egypt. So it wouldn't be the first time if our office has that, and it won't be the last time, but we can do our best to eliminate, because we can appreciate that it destroys trust and it hurts and it can corrupt credibility around the team, and that it's a morale killer. That when we're spreading false rumors around the water cooler or the coffee machine or between cubicles, it can destroy morale in the office environment, because people are now worried about everything that they're going to say, that what they say, even in an offhanded comment, which is not meant or not meant to be taken literally, or is just a joke or a bad joke even, that it can destroy their success or potential success or future success in the office, because they're so concerned about everything that comes out of their mouth, they're not going to be transparent and open. And of course, the bottom line is that it destroys the bottom line, the results and the performance suffer. And so what's important from the standpoint of management is to create an office where this isn't the way in which it happens. And what the way to do that is to really think through a couple of things. Obviously, if you're a manager and people are talking about you at work, I'm not saying it's never going to happen or that it doesn't happen. I'm sure it happens. When you're the leader of a team, you know, sometimes the teammates talk about the leader. If you're the CEO and the founder of the company, I'm sure that's true also. It's an expectation maybe on some level, whether or not one appreciates it or doesn't appreciate it or likes it or doesn't like it. And imagine that that's the case, that people on the team are talking about the leaders of the team. That doesn't mean that it becomes the culture, or that it has to sort of weave itself through and enmesh itself entirely into the culture of the office. It can still be frowned upon and not positive, or not the way we want to operate. But then nonetheless, as a manager, as a leader, as a founder, one has to create a culture of positivity, obviously, a culture of respect, certainly. And the way to do that is sort of like a three-step kind of a process. The first thing really is to sort of what I'll call all hail transparency. There's a really excellent article on the subject. I think it was in Fast Company, which is used to be a print magazine. Now it's an online magazine dealing with business. And so in there, there was this article, and all hail transparency. The first thing really is to create an aura and an environment of real transparency in the company. One can go to the degree of Ray Dalio at Bridgewater Associates, the famous billionaire investor who has a policy in his company on radical transparency. That is the fullest, the largest, the furthest extent of transparency that a person can have in their space. One does not have to go that far. But it should be transparent in the sense that everything that needs to be out there is out there with respect to what's going on in the business, or that people can be open with each other. That often is required of the leadership to be emblematic and symbolic and to show that to everybody else, to really model it for everybody else, not just in words but in deeds, to really to be transparent and really to be open, to be upfront about everything. The second thing that's really important is to really share regularly and openly, publicly. What I mean by that is, the things are happening in the company, for good and even for bad, that it should be communicated to everyone, that it should be out front instead of being through the grapevine, at the water cooler, in a Slack channel, right? But it really should be from the top down is a sort of a culture of sharing and updating things that are going on. You know, something's happening in the company that really needs to get out there. You want to be out ahead of it. Obviously, crisis situations is a totally different level. But also, of course, that's part of it, being out front on these matters rather than hearing about it through some second or third party or reading about it online. And the last part of that is to keep everything, keep the people together, keep the team together, and really communicating together openly. So that's in meetings, fostering an environment of transparency and honesty and openness among the team, again, for good and for bad, on a good idea, on bad ideas, on successes and on failures, a culture of learning, a culture in an environment where people can feel like their opinions are heard and shared, and that it's not going to come back and bite them afterwards. And so as managers and as leaders, if we're able to sort of create environments like this, the office gossip disappears because A, it's frowned upon, of course, but B, what needs to be communicated, what needs to be shared is transparently and openly and freely shared. And so we avoid situations where we end up in a cutthroat, you know, office slashing situation where no one trusts each other and it's toxic environment and people just want to run for the hills and get out. That is certainly better than water cooler talk about these different things, about hearing about it on Twitter and not seeing it coming from the boss down, because it only leads to questions, it leads to more speculation, leads to more difficulties, and only creates an environment where everybody is protecting of themselves and always playing in defense mode rather than focused and together and united for the success of the company. So the ideas of the Bible talking about this person contracting this form of spiritual leprosy because of negative and evil speech about other people is not simply just about individuals talking about each other, but it also is the promotion of the proper office culture that we want to have in the environments in which we want to work and be and ultimately succeed. Have a great weekend. Those who are celebrating, have a Shabbat Shalom. See you next week with Coaching with the Bible.